Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 55 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
As of this report, there are no lab-confirmed cases of flu in our area.
Gateway Area Health District Director Bobby Ratliff says that while that's true, there is still the potential a case of the flu could be confirmed.
A burglary suspect has drowned after fleeing police and falling in a Bullitt County pond.
And Rowan County may soon be operating a needle exchange.
In sports, the Moorhead State men's basketball team plays Austin Peay tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
90% chance of showers tonight and temperatures around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship will have to serve the rest of his prison term, West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Ashton Mara reports.
A panel of appellate judges has upheld a ruling that sent former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship to prison. The decision means he'll serve out the remainder of his one-year sentence in a California penitentiary. The U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled Thursday morning that, quote, the district court committed no reversible error, end quote. Blankenship was convicted of conspiring to willfully violate federal mine safety laws in December of 2015 and was later sentenced to 1 year in federal prison. In his appeal, lead defense attorney Bill Taylor argued that District Judge Irene Berger had erred when instructing the jury on the definition of willfulness after the eight-week trial. Taylor also told a three-judge panel of the court in Richmond during an October hearing that not allowing him to re-examine a witness was also grounds for overturning the conviction. The court, however, disagreed in a 34-page ruling. Blankenship began serving his sentence in May of 2016. His charges stemmed from a 2010 explosion at the Upper Big Branch coal mine in Montcoal, West Virginia, that killed 29 men. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara.
Kentucky's unemployment rate stayed at 4.8% in December. The State Office of Employment and Training said Kentucky's seasonally adjusted unemployment did not change from November, but it is 0.9 percentage points lower than the 5.7% unemployment rate for December 2015. Nationally, the unemployment rate was 4.7%, according to the U.S. Department of Labor. Kentucky's civilian labor force grew by 11,903 people to a total of just over 2 million. Employment was up by more than 11,700, and the number of unemployed increased by 188. One of the biggest growth areas was trade, transportation, and utilities, which added 2,100 jobs. That sector includes retail, which added more jobs for the holiday season. Government jobs decreased by 100 compared to November and have dropped by 2,600 positions since December of 2015.
Kentucky Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes says she met with Chinese embassy officials this week in hopes of helping cultivate a stronger economic and cultural relationship between the state and the world's most populous country. Grimes says Kentucky's trading relationship with China is strong and continues to grow. She says she hopes that continued dialogue will result in even more Chinese investments in the state. Grimes's office says China is the state's fourth largest export partner with over $1.9 billion of Kentucky exports in 2015, up more than 16% from the prior year. Grimes traveled to China in 2015 to provide information about Kentucky, its business climate, and economic development opportunities as part of a delegation coordinated and funded by the Chinese People's Association for Friendship with Foreign Countries.
Kentucky's Department for Public Health says the flu virus is widespread in the Commonwealth, but it doesn't appear to have had a substantial impact in the Gateway region, at least not yet. However, Gateway Area Health District Director Bobby Ratliff says there's no reason for complacency.
There's going to be several cases, and I'm sure there's some cases that's already been missed. You know, sometimes physicians don't always send the case reports or the work to the lab to get confirmation. So, and long story short, I feel comfortable in saying that flu is probably around here, and the best thing you can do right now is wash your hands, plus go get a flu shot.
State health officials recommend flu shots for people 6 months and older. Those considered at high risk for the flu are children younger than 5 and older adults with chronic medical conditions.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins thinks a needle exchange program will be operating in the county within 3 months. Blevins also serves on the Gateway Area District Health Board. He says the city and county governments have already approved the initiative, and now a task force is looking into possible locations for it. The needle exchange, Blevins argues, should save lives and money.
If people share needles, and even not just the needles, but actually the little cotton and the little spoons they use to heat up this this drug, if they share any of those things, there's a potential of them getting AIDS or spreading AIDS from one person to another. But probably the biggest culprit right now is the hepatitis C, which is transferred through mainly needle use. And this would prevent, hopefully, some of those cases.
Blevins says the task force is also studying how needle exchanges are working in other communities.
Kentucky's junior senator says it's wrong to assume the poor will lose health care coverage if the Affordable Care Act is repealed. The Republican lawmaker made the claim Wednesday during a hearing on Dr. Tom Price's nomination to be the next Health and Human Services Secretary. Paul says Americans have always helped those in need, and there's no reason to believe that would stop if the ACA is dismantled.
One of the things that's extraordinary about our country is that just 2 years ago, in 2014, we gave away $400 billion privately, not the government, individually to your churches and to charities. We're an incredibly compassionate society, and I think often this was misplaced in sort of the wonky numbers of this number and that number within healthcare, how much we do help each other.
Paul says most of the doctors he knows in Bowling Green do charity care and often provide free health services during mission trips.
A state lawmaker says Kentucky has too many people on Medicaid, and health care costs will continue to drain the Commonwealth until it finds a way to reduce the number. State Representative Robert Benvenuti is a Republican from Lexington. He says there are 1.3 million Kentuckians in the program. Many of them, he claims, are able-bodied and could be working.
When you provide a handout, people are unmotivated to take care of themselves. And that's really the fundamental core issue in all this. So I hope we'll remain focused on that. Because, you know, at some point, the hardworking Kentuckians that are pulling this bloated cart are going to say enough's enough. And they'll take their businesses elsewhere. They'll take their hard work elsewhere.
Benvenuti serves on the House Health and Welfare Committee. He made his comments at a hearing in Frankfort Wednesday.
Pathways Incorporated in Boyd and Rowan counties have been awarded a micro-grant that will be used to provide young adults with basic clothing and other needs to help promote employment or educational goals. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the $1,500 grant is funded by WellCare of Kentucky, a subsidiary of WellCare Health Plans Incorporated. Pathways portion in Boyd County will go to The Drop, a walk-in facility that helps 16 to 25-year-olds gain skills and support as they enter adulthood.
Kentuckians filling out their 2017 state tax returns have a chance again this year to support the Kentucky Farms to Food Banks Trust Fund. Tamara Sandberg is executive director of the Kentucky Food Banks Association. She says people can donate all or part of their state tax refund by checking a box on line 33 of Form 740. Sandberg says the contributions make a big difference.
We've been the grant recipient of these funds for the past 3 years. In August, we received $28,000 from taxpayers who donated through the tax fund, and that allowed us to buy over 100,000 pounds of produce. It pays farmers to cover their cost of picking, packing, and distributing that produce from their field to a food bank.
Sandberg says the fund is administered by the Kentucky Department of Agriculture.
A report says utility representatives and state regulators revised and weakened a proposal to regulate the storage of hazardous coal ash near Kentucky power plants before allowing the public to comment. WFPL-FM reports that a September 2015 draft of regulations was extensive, but many of the specifics had been removed by the time the proposal was submitted to the Legislative Research Commission in October of 2016. The station reports records show state regulators met at least four times that year with utility representatives to discuss the regulations. Kentucky Resources Council environmental attorney Tom Fitzgerald said such one-sided input from industry is unprecedented in recent years.
We, better than most universities, can have a dispassionate, objective, thorough review of these matters. And to make recommendations about our own space.
Energy and Environment Cabinet spokesman John Mura defended the process, saying it's common to have informal discussions about proposed regulations with affected industries. He said the proposal was revised again after getting public comments in November.
Gas prices in Kentucky are falling again, but they are still higher in Moorhead than in most other cities in the region. That's according to a website that tracks fuel costs daily in the Commonwealth. GasBuddy.com reports that the lowest price in Rowan County today is $2.39. That's 15 cents more than the state average. Elsewhere in eastern Kentucky, regular unleaded fuel is selling for $2.28 in Ashland, $2.22 in Maysville, and $2.27 in Vanceburg. The lowest price in Kentucky today is in Berea, where it's $1.85. The highest cost is in Charlestown. Gas is going for $2.59 there. A year ago, Kentuckians were paying an average of $1.72 per gallon.
University of Kentucky officials have pledged to reduce carbon emissions on campus by 25% by 2025. President Eli Cabelludo has credited student organizations with pressuring the administration to be more proactive in addressing climate change. He talked about the issue in a video address.
We, better than most universities, can have a dispassionate, objective, thorough review of these matters. And to make recommendations about our own space.
Cabelludo says the effort will include implementing new technologies and energy conservation methods into facilities, as well as working toward a long-term goal of carbon neutrality. The university's Office of Sustainability will report yearly progress on the goal.
The Lexington-Fayette County merged government could soon find itself in court over a proposed ordinance barring the delivery of unsolicited flyers and circulars on residents' lawns. Josh James explains.
The revised ordinance is more than 2 years in the making, as city leaders have debated how to deal with litter complaints prompted by the delivery of a free weekly community news product by the Lexington Herald-Leader. Under the ordinance, businesses would be required to deliver unsolicited materials to porches, doorsteps, or mail slots. John Bussian, an attorney representing the Herald-Leader, warned members of the Planning and Public Safety Committee that the rule would run afoul of First Amendment protections for newspapers, and costly litigation could follow.
It's going to come down to whether the complaints that may have been registered by people are enough to override the news leader's First Amendment right to distribute newspapers and related products the way it chooses to do that.
Attorney Michael Cravens, who works for the city, countered.
It is our opinion that this ordinance would withstand First Amendment scrutiny.
The measure sailed through committee on a unanimous vote and now goes before the full Urban County Council. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky's senior senator admits that when Donald Trump becomes the nation's 45th president tomorrow, he'll have fewer of his cabinet secretaries in place than many other chief executives. Republican Mitch McConnell says WYMT Trump's nominees have faced contentious confirmation hearings.
He's obviously not getting a honeymoon period that typically presidents are cut a little slack in the beginning.
Trump will also be starting his administration with low approval ratings. Most polls show him with less than 40% support.
There's a new commanding general at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Major General Andrew Pappas took command of the 101st Airborne Division during a ceremony at the Army Post in southern Kentucky along the Tennessee-Kentucky line. Pappas succeeds Major General Gary Volsky, who is being promoted. Pappas arrived at Fort Campbell from the Pentagon. He previously served in the 101st as commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team.
A burglary suspect is dead after running from police and apparently drowning in a pond. Here's KNN's Paul Miles.
State police say 28-year-old Sean Gabbery was a suspect in a home burglary in Shepherdsville. He allegedly ran from a Shepherdsville police officer and jumped into a pond. Gabbery told the officer he couldn't swim and went underwater. Police say the officer tried to rescue Gabbery, but he was unable to locate the man in the water. A dive team later recovered Gabbery's body. I'm Paul Miles.
The water level at Fish Trap Lake in Pike County is dropping a foot and a half each day in order to repair one of its temperature gates. WYMT spoke with natural resource specialist Brett Salyers. He says the water is at a level of 722.98 and needs to reach 713 feet for repairs to begin on the steel gate.
We're about 11 feet away from the bottom elevation of what we need to be able to do the work on the gate. We have to replace a stem and a coupling on top of the gate.
Salyer says because of the reduced water level, boaters cannot go out on the lake. Repairs are slated to begin on Monday and are expected to take 2 weeks. Once the gate is fixed, they will start refilling the lake.
Kentucky officials have scheduled several beekeeping workshops around the state through May. The Kentucky Department of Agriculture says in a statement that the classes are geared toward educating beekeepers with all experience levels. Agricultural Commissioner Ryan Coral said beekeeping holds a promising future in honey production and pollination. There are a total of 14 courses, ranging from day-long workshops for beginners to weekend workshops on queen production. They are being offered at locations around the state. More information and a list of classes can be found at www.kyagr.com/statevet/honeybees.html.
And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight expect widespread showers with lows in the lower 50s. The chance of rain is at 90%. For Friday, warm and mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the morning, then isolated showers in the afternoon. Highs will be near 65 degrees and the chance of rain tomorrow is at 40%. Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers throughout the day, highs in the upper 60s. It is currently 52 degrees in Ashland, 53 degrees in Flemingsburg. It's 54 degrees in Inez and Winchester, 55 degrees in Lexington. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 55 degrees. The time is 4:46. You're listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Samantha Morrell here with Chaz Jenkins. Glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, Kentuckians will be among the tens of thousands of people participating on Saturday in the Women's March on Washington during Donald Trump's first day in office. Greg Stottlemyer spoke with two Kentucky women who say they'll be among them.
Donald Trump will be greeted by a massive grassroots human rights rally during his first full day in office this Saturday. The Women's March on Washington will draw people from across the country, including Kentucky. Stephanie Morris will make an overnight bus trip to the nation's capital with others from the Bowling Green area. She says it's her way of registering a peaceful protest against the new president's policies and actions.
I am just astonished by his manner and his lack of respect and empathy for women and for others, people of color, and I'm concerned about people who are immigrants.
The Women's March on Washington website estimates 200,000 people will participate. Marches are also planned in other cities across the country, including Lexington, Murray, and Louisville. Ruth Bamberger of Ludlow says she'll stay with old college friends in Northern Virginia this weekend so she can be there to help send a message to the Trump administration about social justice, fair wages, and protecting the environment. Saturday's march has Bamberger reflecting back to 1980, when she participated in a rally at Grant Park in Chicago for ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment.
And here I am, a lot older, working for the same thing. As soon as I found out about this march, I thought, gee, you know, I've got to go back and demonstrate what I still feel.
Morris says she's marching on Saturday for a variety of reasons, including her concerns about how the Trump administration will deal with climate change.
I'm afraid it is very anti-environment. The appointee of the EPA is Scott Pruitt, who has sued the EPA and denies climate change. That's unconscionable.
Morris is a member of the Sierra Club, one of the partners in the march. I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:49. This is Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for All Things Considered. Braxton Howard has sports, and he's coming up in just a moment.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State men's basketball team does battle with Austin Peay tonight in Clarksville, Tennessee. At 7-11 overall, the Eagles will be looking to build off of last weekend's 2-point home win over Tennessee State. Senior big man Juan Marrero says he and his teammates are excited about the matchup with the Governors.
Head down to Tennessee, so I'm definitely looking forward to that one. It's going to be a physical game as well, especially on the road. I don't think we've won yet on the road. So moving forward, I'm looking forward to that game, and we'll be exciting to see.
Austin Peay is 6-13 on the year and 2-3 in the OVC, while MSU is 3-2 in conference play. The Morehead State women are getting prepared to host arch rival Eastern Kentucky Saturday at 5:30. MSU is 14-5 on the year and 4-2 in conference play despite dropping their last two games. And head coach Greg Todd says his team is in for another tough challenge on Saturday.
Eastern's 4-1. They're playing very well. They maybe have the best player in the conference in Jalen O'Bannon, who's a terrific inside player. And they have a very good shooter in Cooper.
EKU is 7-11 on the year but have won four of their five OVC games. The Louisville basketball team plays host to Clemson tonight at 9 p.m. at the KFC Yum Center. Coming off of a 78-69 win over Duke last Saturday, head coach Rick Pitino says he likes the energy his team has played with consistently this year.
Really proud of our guys. We've been through the mill with a schedule, and we stay at an even keel and keep getting up for every game as if it's a national championship game, and I like the effort that our guys give.
Louisville is 15-3 on the year and 3-2 in ACC play. The Kentucky basketball team is getting set to battle with number 24 South Carolina at Rupp Arena on Saturday. At 15-2 on the year and coming off of an 88-81 win at Mississippi State on Tuesday, head coach John Calipari says his young team still isn't where they need to be.
We go into the AAU mode when you're playing all freshmen and sophomores. There's a point in the game that they just think it's like, okay, watch this. You're never going to be that team if that's what your mindset is. And we just have a long way to go. I mean, I know we're winning games. I know, you know, we're winning some close games where teams are coming at us and they're finishing. But we just have a long way to go.
South Carolina improved to 5-0 in the SEC with a 57-53 win over Florida last night. The Round County boys basketball team hosts Clark County tonight at 7:30 at Warren Cooper Gymnasium. At 13-5 on the year and winners of two straight, head coach Sean Thacker says his Vikings are looking forward to the matchup.
Well, they're 12-7 on the year. We're playing a really good schedule, so, you know, our kids will have to be ready to go. First time we've gotten to play them at our place in a few years. So, you know, it's a program that we've been playing every summer. You know, we usually start our summer program by going there. They come here. You know, we'll be familiar with each other, and, our kids will look forward to it as much as I'm sure their kids will, too.
Round senior Michael Antrobus is the fifth leading scorer in the 16th region, averaging nearly 22 points per game. Also in high school action tonight, Morgan County will visit Sandy Hook to take on Elliott County for the 16th Region All-A Championship. Last year's All-A Champions, Morgan County goes into the contest at 8-11 on the year. Head coach Matthew Perry says this is another game for his young team to continue to grow.
For us, it's just taking one game at a time. You know, you can't look ahead because when you start looking ahead, you'll end up finding yourself going home. So, you know, we're just coming in here focused, going to try to do the best we can to be in this game at the end and have a chance to win. But, you know, whoever represents our region will go down there with full support of everybody in this area, hopefully have a good run at it and represent the 16th to the best of their ability.
Elliott County is 13-1 on the year, led by sophomore Corbin Spencer's 19 points per game. With opening day less than a month away, the Morehead State baseball team is in full preseason mode. Head coach Mike McGuire says his Eagles are in the midst of individual workouts and will hopefully get into team practice before the end of the month.
We'll do individual work for 2 weeks and then start team practice. We start team practice 3 weeks to the day prior to opening day. So, you know, for us, sometimes individual work and team practice, depending on the weather, aren't that much different.
The baseball Eagles get the season started on February the 17th against Jacksonville University at a tournament in Jackson, Mississippi. And finally, in sports, a major upset highlights play on the fourth day of the Australian Open. AP correspondent Graham Agars reports.
Former world number one Novak Djokovic was hoping to re-establish his dominance over men's tennis at the Australian Open after a lackluster final 6 months to last year. But that hope was dashed as he fell to 30-year-old wildcard entry Denis Istomin from Uzbekistan in the second round. The six-time former champion outplayed in a 4-hour and 48-minute five-set battle. The exit was his earliest here since 2006 and leaves the Serb with plenty of thinking to do. Women's third seed Agnieszka Radwanska also bowed out, but no such problems for Serena Williams, safely into the third round. Graham Agars, Melbourne.
That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host a doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University on Saturday. The women's game begins at 5:30 and the men tip off at 7:45. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower, with real estate falling around 1% as investors eagerly awaited President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 72.32 at 19,732.4. The Standard & Poor's 500 was down 8.2 at 2263.69, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 15.57 at 5540.08. The market was weaker earlier, as at one point the Dow average was down over 100 points. In economic news, weekly jobless claims dropped 15,000 to finish at 234,000 for the latest week, around their lowest levels in 40 years. Housing starts, meanwhile, spiked 11.3% in December, beating estimates. The Philadelphia Federal Reserve Business Conditions Index rose to 23.6, above a consensus estimate of 15.8. Investors in the U.S. also focused on corporate quarterly results as earnings season continued. Bank of New York Mellon and Union Pacific were among the companies reporting before the bell, with Dow components IBM and American Express set to report after the close. Video streaming giant Netflix saw its shares rise almost 4%, having posted solid results on strong subscriber growth. U.S. Treasury bond prices, or I should say U.S. Treasury yields, rose following the earlier economic releases, with the benchmark 10-year note yield breaking above 2.487%. Overseas European equities traded mostly lower after the European Central Bank kept monetary policy unchanged. The euro briefly fell versus the dollar after ECB President Mario Draghi said at a news conference there is no sign of a convincing upward trend in underlying inflation. CSX was big in the news today as the stock soared 23%. This on word that the soon-to-be ex-Canadian Pacific CEO is in talks with a former Pershing Square partner to, quote, shake up CSX. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were United Health Group and Boeing, and your worst performers were ExxonMobil and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CSX and Norfolk Southern, and your worst performers were Chesapeake Energy and J.B. Hunt Transportation. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down 66 cents at 109.79, AEP down 77 cents at 62.69, AK Steel down 55 cents at 9.52, Marathon Petroleum down 53 cents at 48.37, CSX up $8.63 at 45.51, and Anthem was up 89 cents to finish at 148.11. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting the Steep Canyon Rangers in concert with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m., Friday, February 3rd. The featured touring band for Steve Martin and Grammy Award winners for Best Bluegrass Album, the Steep Canyon Rangers blend high-energy bluegrass music with Americana mountain music. Steep Canyon Rangers with special guest Tyler Childers, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 3rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and information online, Facebook, or 606-889-9125.
Taking a final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight: widespread showers, lows in the lower 50s. The chance of rain is at 90%. Friday, warm and mostly cloudy. Scattered showers in the morning, then isolated showers in the afternoon. It is currently 55 degrees in Moorhead. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Meraz, Dan Conti, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney. From WUKY, Josh James. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. And from Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting, Ashton Mara. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill from Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.